Ever wonder why the scale is something that we all work hard to avoid? I did, and that's why I went to work and found answers. In today's episode, I have something special for you. I'm bringing you a sneak peek video from my membership library. It's all about the scale, and I want to help you understand why you probably hate it, and more importantly, I want to help empower you to take back control over the scale. Before we jump in, I want you to know a couple quick things. First, the audio isn't recorded on a high fidelity podcast microphone. It's a video from my library. Okay, so you're probably going to notice a difference there. The second thing is I have some visuals that accompany the video, and you're going to hear me reference a written guide that accompanies the episode. And I want you to have that as well. All right, because I'm talking about specifically the brand of scale that I use. And that's where I recommend the scale. Okay, so if you want to have access to all that information, I want you to have it. And that's why I've added this video to my free course, How Weight Loss Works. So all you need to do is head on over to my website. The link is in the show notes. It's oviawellness.com, and you'll see my free course, How Weight Loss Works. Just click on that, and not only will you get all the bonus content, you can also listen and watch this episode too. So now I bring you Scale Betrayal versus Empowerment. If you hate the scale and rely on your clothes to tell you when it's time to lose weight, this video is for you. My name's Emerson Lee. You'll learn why so many people hate the scale, and I'll teach you how to reframe your thinking, and most importantly, I'll teach you how to use the scale as the weight loss management tool it was truly intended to be. Anger and frustration are probably the most common feelings people have towards a scale, which is why most people generally hate to get on a scale. And the reason why we respond emotionally and have negative feelings is because the scale has long been the tool used to measure both our success and compliance. You see, when we're made to believe that if we follow a diet and we perfectly comply with a program, that we'll see weight loss on the scale, okay? Now, initially, you know, the logic works. The first week on the diet, the scale shows, you know, weight loss. So it seems like it's reasonable and appropriate for us to gauge compliance and success by using the scale. So we all go along with it. But then, next week and the week after, they're not the same. Sometimes you only lose a pound, and sometimes you don't lose anything, and sometimes you even gain weight, and this is where our reaction changes. Emotion enters, and this is where frustration bubbles up, and maybe we get a little angry too, because despite our perfect adherence to the diet and strict compliance to the program, the scale isn't reflecting all the hard work and good choices we've been making. So you think, hey, wait a minute, I did the right thing. I trusted that you, Mr. Scale, would do the right thing and show the weight loss. What happened? Scale betrayal. Scale betrayal happens when perfect performance and flawless compliance isn't directly reflected on the scale. And that's why we get upset and frustrated. It's understandable because we're taught to look at the scale as a measure of success, but it isn't. The truth is, the scale is intended to measure total body composition. That's it. Our total body weight is composed of bone, muscle, or lean mass, fat, and water. And we know that bone and muscle aren't going to fluctuate and change. Bone and muscle, you know, refer pretty much to a fixed structure, all right? And so for the most part, that's not going to move. But if we're working on weight loss, we do expect that there's going to be some fluctuation in fat and water too, because we know that both water and fat can fluctuate depending on the food or liquid substances that we have coming in, because they're either being retained, stored, or released. Now, intuitively, we know this is true because we've seen it. You step on the scale, and if you've weighed yourself throughout the day at different times of the day, after eating or drinking, you'll see that your body weight can fluctuate. And that sensitive fluctuation, that's kind of the problem, because it's what really serves to perpetuate the misunderstanding of the scale. You know, when we see how sensitive the scale is and reactive after we eat and drink something, well, it's easy to see why, you know, we would understand that it should reflect our new changes to our eating and drinking patterns too. I mean, after all, I've been cutting back. I haven't been eating as much. So shouldn't the scale react and respond right away? But it doesn't translate. And the scale doesn't respond to our diet changes as quickly. Why not? That's because the human body doesn't respond and adapt as quickly. Okay, the human body is designed to maintain systems, and it responds to maintained behavior, which means our body is naturally programmed to maintain our weight. And that's one of the reasons why weight loss is such a slow process. Okay, it takes time for the body to adjust function, acclimate its metabolism, and accept the new food, you know, the process, and ultimately release the stored fat. Consistent behavior maintained over time will reverse the course of maintenance, and that's what creates the momentum that your body needs to lose the fat and lose the excess weight. And that's why it's important to view the scale in a whole new way. Expect volatility, no matter what. The number on the scale is always going to be volatile. It's unpredictable and inconsistent. You don't control the number because you can't, okay? Remember, you don't control outcomes. All you can ever control is your own reaction and action. The healthy food choices and the actions that you take day after day are designed to be consistent, which means over time, these actions add up and they build slowly to weight loss momentum. That much we can predict. So instead of thinking of the scale as something that measures your results, think again. Think of the scale as a lagging indicator of your success, something that can even lag behind by days or even weeks, okay? The leading indicator of your success is the action that you're taking every day with those good behaviors, good food choices, drinking enough water, sleeping, exercising, and limiting your stress. Which is to say, don't let the volatility of the scale suggest that you're not being consistent in your behavior. In fact, the scale provides some of the best data you can get, and it's really helpful after we take out the volatility. So, how do you remove the volatility? There are two ways to remove the volatility. Number one, buy a digital scale that weighs at least three different aspects of your body composition: water, lean mass, and fat. That way you can start to manage hydration and look for trends and fluctuations in composition. Number two, weigh yourself every day, once a day, naked at the same time of day, first thing in the morning before you eat or drink anything. Why? Well, a daily weigh-in creates a consistent stream of data that can be averaged to remove the volatility of a daily number. And instead, it provides a larger view of averages, which means you need to keep track of your daily number. Now, the good news here is that most modern scales are reasonably priced, and they also come with Bluetooth connectivity, which takes care of linking your scale to your phone. So tracking is automatic and easy. The scale that I currently use is listed in the guide that accompanies the video, and that scale is supported by an app on my phone. So it's easy to link the scale data to my phone. I don't have to do anything. It automatically updates every time I weigh in. Now, a lot of digital scales provide an app that will also go ahead and average all of your daily weigh-ins into one monthly number, which is key, because this eliminates the fixation that we have on all those anomalies and outliers, the highest weight, the lowest weight, okay? And it helps draw your attention to the charts and the graphs that can help you spot trends. Now, the best part about a daily weigh-in is over time, you become desensitized to the daily number, and you see that you don't always have a declining daily number, but that's okay. Because what you're noticing is the positive momentum, all right? That's on a monthly trend. And month over month, you're gonna see that you're on a healthy trend of weight loss. So you're still not convinced about the value of a daily weigh-in? Think you can get the same results with a weekly weigh-in? Think again. Weekly weigh-ins don't work, and here's why. A weekly weigh-in invites gaming and manipulation. Now, most people who want to weigh in weekly, they choose a weigh-in on Friday. Why? Because it's common to work really hard, you know, dieting all week, and then cut loose and go completely off plan all weekend, and then start dieting again on Monday, thinking, you know, I'll be good all week, and by the end of the week, when it's time to weigh in again, I'll have lost all that weekend weight gain. Okay, the problem is, this is when weight loss becomes a job. And by a job, I mean it's something that you have to begrudgingly return to every Monday, and it's something you can't wait to break free from every Friday. Sound familiar? And when we diet like it's a job, it becomes work that we resent because it's impossible to completely erase a weekend filled entirely of exceptions and still lose weight. Remember, your body can't pivot and maintain weight loss momentum like this, all right? If you're lucky, and by that I mean really lucky, it may be able to go ahead and maintain its current weight that way, but there's no way your body's going to be able to provide a continuous weight loss. And that's why weekly weigh-ins don't work, all right? Weekly weigh-ins rely on one number each week to tell the entire story. And, you know, knowing the volatility that we've been talking about, that volatility exists day to day. And it would basically be almost irresponsible to allow just one number to represent an entire week filled with data. So just think, there are six other weigh-ins that want to be included in that monthly average too. So why miss out? Why not weigh in every day? Okay, so that's all the talk about the numbers and the averages and body composition and all of that reasonable, logical stuff. Now let's shift gears a little bit and meander back over to the emotional side of the equation. You feel horrible after getting on the scale? I mean, I know I did. When I weighed myself, it would literally ruin my entire day. I would think, I don't need a scale to tell me that I'm overweight. I would just even hate looking at the number and being reminded of it. It was depressing. Well, I get it. I've been there, all right? And it's a very common reaction. Why? Well, because deep down inside, we all know that we're responsible for ourselves, all right? I know I'm the only one who gets to decide what goes into my mouth and what I put into my body, and it makes me mad, all right? I'm mad at myself and I'm mad at my body. And then I get mad at the scale too. And this type of frustration is something that you see all the time in sports. Did I just say sports? Yeah, sports. You see athletes get mad and frustrated when they're disappointed. Why? Well, they've activated the inner critic voice inside their head that automatically responds by telling them, man, you blew it. You can do better. And the truth is, they don't need anyone else to tell them that they messed up. They already know in their head that they could have done better and they wanted to do better, but it didn't happen. And now they want you to know it, the sports fan who's watching, which is exactly why, you know, outwardly they're showing their frustration. They want you to know, hey, I'm mad and I'm disappointed and frustrated too. Well, we all have that kind of frustration and it comes from the inner critic that's talking to you and it's judging you and blaming and shaming you and making you feel bad. The difference is the professional athletes will only allow their inner critic that one brief moment. And then they get back in the game and they work to do better. The rest of us, because we don't know any better, we haven't been trained, we haven't learned how to respond differently, we let the inner critic continue to beat us up and berate us and take down our entire day. And it starts to affect our mood, which means, you know, now we feel bad and we want comfort and relief, so we eat more food. And because we know about this treacherous loop of destructive behavior, the easiest thing to do is to remove the scale. You know, just get that out of the equation, because that will help alleviate the reaction and the behavior. Listen, disappointment is a normal reaction. It's an experience and a feeling, but it isn't who you are. And that's key. It's important to remember that you are not a disappointment. You are not a failure. You can be like, you know, the professional athlete. You just need some training and a good coach. And you can learn to feel and experience disappointment momentarily, knowing that it's temporary and it dissipates and it fades. That's how the athletes do it, all right? They get focused on what they do control, their next action, the next at bat, their next behavior, all right? And they practice letting go of the disappointment really quickly, and they push past it so they can win the game. They learn how to disconnect from the inner critic, and they allow the inner critic to inform them, not control them. And that way, one moment or one number on the scale or one score on the scoreboard, it doesn't define them. Okay, they get back in the game and they take action. You can start to do this too. All right, here's what you do. Step on the scale, don't judge it. You don't get to like it or hate it, no feelings, all right? Practice no reaction, no response. Don't have an opinion. The reason the numbers on the scale become emotionally charged is because somewhere along the line, we let the number speak to our value as a person, all right? And when we let that number rank our success, it also starts to rank our self-worth. And for most of us, this happened as far back as our teen years and even in adolescence, all right? So listen up, you're not defined by a number. There is no number in your life that will define you. You're not defined by your blood pressure or cholesterol or blood sugar numbers, all right? You're not defined by your IQ or your credit score or your bank account balance, and you're definitely not defined by the number of kids you have or the number of friends. They're all just numbers, all right? You're not the sum of any of these numbers, and you most certainly are more worthy and more valuable. The key takeaway is this: step on the scale every day. Why? Well, the bigger distance that you put between you and the scale, the more you'll allow your body weight to fluctuate, and likely you'll gain weight. Okay, which means that when you don't weigh yourself every day, your weight will steadily climb 10 to 20 pounds before you truly notice a difference. Because that's when your clothes will start to fit differently, which on the surface, you know, kind of seems reasonable. I used to let my clothes tell me when I needed to lose weight, but it doesn't work because clothing is a mirage. Especially when we've been carrying excess weight for years and years, we know exactly how to dress to protect our vulnerabilities and hide our least flattering parts that we don't want exposed, which means you're likely not dressing in clothes that are form-fitting enough to reliably notify you that you've gained weight. So the truth is, by the time that pair of jeans no longer fits or is super snug, you're probably as much as 20 pounds heavier. And that's because most sizes in the United States are made to accommodate at least 2 inches in growth at the circumference of your body before you move up the next size. So that means 2 inches around your waist and your hips and your bust, it's not gonna happen after just 5 pounds of weight gain. It's more like 20 pounds or more. And it's also because fat stores all over your body, not just the body parts covered by our jeans or our clothes. You see, when we gain weight, our body is storing 2 types of fat: visceral fat and subcutaneous fat. Now, the visceral fat is around the belly and the abdomen, right around here, which only affects the waistline area. Subcutaneous fat stores around the entire perimeter of our body, and all over body fat is the preferred type of fat that our body naturally is intended to store. So this means that our calves, our forearms, our hands, our feet, all of it, our neck, our face, our upper arms, all of it is storing fat. And these areas of our body aren't typically covered by clothes. And finally, don't forget, most fabrics wear down over time, which means they're gonna stretch out as they age. And if they're not old, they're likely blended with spandex or lycra. And both of those materials, they stretch. So your favorite jeans and really any type of clothing is a really super horrible way to measure and manage your weight because they're an even bigger lagging indicator than the scale. All right, the scale gives you the notification that you need to see if the trend is moving in the wrong direction. And that's why daily weigh-ins provide you with early notification, right? And that empowers you to more quickly course correct and take action sooner than how your clothes fit. Because by the time your wardrobe reflects a change, the gain is a lot larger and it's more difficult to correct. Now, I don't know about you, but I prefer to know early. I know that bad news doesn't really age well, and I'd rather know once the match hits the forest and have a chance to put out the fire before all the trees are on fire, because at that point, it's a huge disaster. My name's Emerson Lee. The best way to manage or maintain anything is with real, solid facts. And that's why the scale is one of the best tools to help you achieve and maintain weight loss with Ovia. I hope you enjoyed that sneak peek into my members' video library. You know, and I'd say, you know, the best way to manage or maintain anything is with real solid facts. And that's why the scale is one of the best tools to help you achieve weight loss and maintain a healthy weight too. Listen, if you'd like more information, our membership program is available at any time. And as a member of Ovia, I help you and I work with you, okay? I'm your weight loss and wellness coach. I also have an extensive video library that I recorded that includes more than 65 videos, all designed to help you achieve your weight loss and wellness goals. Please check out my website at oviawellness.com. That's O-V-V-I-A wellness.com. There you can find more information on my program, get the free course, and even watch today's episode on video. And what's great is you can also get the name of the scale that I'm currently using, and that's included in the guide that accompanies this video episode too. My name's Emerson Lee. I hope I helped you change what you know about the scale, because it's my job to help you change what you know, change what you do, and change your body too. Thanks for listening.